All right, so welcome to one of the most real breeder chit-chats that we've had in a minute. This is with our good friend CV420, breeder of the Black Tunico. This one right here is not the first time, not the second, but probably the third time, if not more, that he's been on the show. And this is the first time that it's in the podcast format where we're not live, which really allowed for this beautiful open format that did go a little bit longer than usual. So, warning, it's a little bit longer than an hour, but it's full of gold. CV420 is by far one of the most passionate and knowledgeable breeders, like full-on genetic nerds, that I've ever met in my life. So for those of you genetic nerds, kick back and enjoy. But before we get into it, I want to take a quick second and thank the sponsor of this podcast, Pulse Grow. You see, these are the guys that make the monitors that I've been using and loving more and more inside of my tents. Mostly the Hub VWC kit. This is what I've been plugging into my substrate to be able to monitor exactly what my soil moisture is and my dryback on a daily basis, no matter where I am. And it's not only this VWC kit that connects to the hub, but an array of different monitors. Whether you're monitoring pH and EC in your reservoir or feeding tank, VPD, temp, and humidity inside the tent, the guys over at Pulse have you covered. So make sure to check out pulsegrow.com for everything grow room monitoring. Like, literally everything. Make sure to use code HOMEGROWTV at checkout to save yourself a nice chunk of change, and it helps support the channel. Much love, and thank you to everyone who's been using that code, and thank you, Pulse Grow, for sponsoring this podcast. Now, let's jump into it. CV420, my man, dude, welcome back to the show, brother. Thanks for coming, and how you doing, dude?
What's up, Dakota? Everything good, brother? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here always with, you know, my favorite show and my favorite host. So,
bro, this is a new concept, bro, because we haven't done this on the show before. So just for you guys to have context, CV and I were talking on Instagram before. We were DMing back and forth. There's a lot of really cool conversations to be had, and we wanted to catch up and do a call. And I was like, bro, what do you think about just doing this recorded? We do it for the podcast, fill everyone in on what's coming, because I'm sure as shit really curious about a lot of the stuff that you have coming, bro. You've been around doing some big stuff. So we got some big stuff, and I figured, fuck it, bro. Let's record it. Let's get it up on the podcast, bro. And so it's the first show. We don't really even have any like bullet questions or any of that kind of stuff. It's just a free flow chat and a catch up. So heads up for you guys on that. Welcome to the show. And let's start off, bro, with this, because I know you just got back from somewhere, bro. Tell me about your trip to Argentina. What was going on over there?
So in Argentina, like, crazy things are happening because, you know, the size of the country and how they're all in the deep south, they've been pretty much isolated from everything. So it's hard to import. It's hard to get things over there, like, you know, good leads, good sodiums, good equipment. So they've been pretty much just having, you know, to construct the industry by themselves. So it's crazy how big the movement is down there and how passionate the people are. And it's definitely like one of the biggest movements in South America, next to Colombia, next to Chile. Definitely those three countries are, in my opinion, I've been visiting, all of them, between last year and this year. And those are the three that are really taking, you know, the flag, you know. So over there we started doing, first of all, we started doing what we call nationalization of our genetics, right? So
yeah,
we have them registered here with ICA. So now we have to take them over there to Argentina and with the entities over there that regulate things like, you know, plants and grows and everything like that. We have to register our genetics over there so we can enter the selling seeds in Argentina. Now, the good thing about seed sales in Argentina is that anybody pretty much who has a register and has a space to do it in their own home can register genetics and seeds, right?
Oh, wow.
So it's been very, you know, interesting to see how it unfolds over there. A lot of brands and a lot of companies are coming up from people who are just making genetics in their basements, you know, and they're using pretty good cuts and they're doing a good job with selections, because they're actually, like, you know, traveling the world and bringing back a whole bunch of fire, you know, because when we talk about cannabis, I think it's gotten to be subjective, right? I think it's gotten to be like like a fine wine, right?
Yeah, and brother. Heck yeah.
You know, like a fine wine, it literally, like, you know, there's no real competition. You can't really say there's the best wine in the world. Like, yes, there's competitions and they do get those titles. But yep. At the end of the day, the next year, there's another best wine in the world. And pretty much, you know, it could be per categories. It could be the best, you know, strain. So at the end of the day, it's the same thing with cannabis. You know, I think if you just know how to select correctly, right, and you keep, mm-hmm. you know, the 5 or 4 check marks, you know, in mind when you're doing these selections, I think there shouldn't be any problem with future breeds. I think there shouldn't be problem with future, you know, genetics and crosses. If the person right. in charge of it, you know, be it in a big, massive location or be it in a small tent, you know, if he gets that logic correct, you know, and he breeds for proper characteristics and for proper fire, you know, how we just talk about it, yeah. there's no reason why the offspring won't be good, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what Argentina's living right now. That's why Black Twin yeah. is pretty much, we've had a very, very great, relationship with the Argentinian community, with the Argentinian growers, with the Argentinian banks. We saw yeah. this in Spanibus. It was pretty crazy because in the Pure Sativa booth where we were for the first time ever, I think it was the first time literally we get to sell seeds in the Spanibus. And it's really hard to get a spot at Spanibus. So we had to...
Right.
Like make a nice deal with our distributor in Europe, which is Pure Sativa, and give them, you know, the distribution for Europe. And that's how we got, you know, next to great people like Big Buddha Cheese, Milo, rest in peace. You know, he died right. a couple weeks ago, and Karma Genetics and our homie Ramon from Grounded. And, you know, a whole bunch of like Perfect Tree crew. What else? We were next to Mosca Seeds. You know, a whole bunch of people that I would never think in a million years I would be sitting next to, you know, sharing, mm-hmm. You know, sharing genetics and just sharing stories with it and continuing our learning process in this great industry. Right. So, and right. coming back to what I was going to say, the Argentinian crew was there 100% of the time. They were chilling with us in That's the VIP. Sick. They were, you know, chanting the Black Tuna out. They were wearing the shirts.
Heck
so
yeah.
we felt like we had a bigger responsibility, you know, than just Colombia. We felt that now our responsibility extended itself to South America. And that
Beautiful.
We are one of many brands, right, that's representing South America in this game. You know, I think it's just like in the United States, you don't have one amazing flower company, you have 30. You don't have yep. one amazing extract company, you know, you have 30. At the end of the day, they all, you know, live in this world where each of them stick out for their own characteristics and reasons. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, they're all good, and you got to try them all. Know, people will have their favorites and it's like everything, but at the end of the day, you gotta, you know, be very, very on top of stuff.
Right. Dude, so what was the day-to-day like over there? So I assume you guys were over there, a small team or a good section of Black Tuna over there, if it was just yourself, but paint a little picture, because how long were you over there for, and what were some of like the actual activities that you had your hands in on an ongoing basis?
I was there a couple of... long weeks and months, because we're consulting on a whole bunch of big projects. Well, actually just one big project for now. But it's been one of the best reasons to see Black Tuna genetics, you know, in a real big, production, industry, right? Because this company, you can search it up. It's called Canava, and it's a government owned company.
Yeah,
and they're literally the pioneers of cannabis growing in Argentina, right? They're 7 years. They were founded about 7 years ago, and it was a very interesting project because it was the first time they involve the government instead of private companies. So this actually led to progress, right? It wasn't just boasting up private stocks for some people to get rich. It was literally like they needed to use the resources that taxpayers gave them, you know, to show results and at the end to make medicine available to the patients, right, at a very low cost. And mm-hmm. that's what they've done. Today you can find in all the pharmacies in the region and in a couple of weeks you'll be able to find it national, the first CBD tincture. And it's for epilepsy and it's for a whole bunch of stuff. And it's going to be very, accessible at a good price for everybody. And it's going to be from government owned facilities, which pretty much is the taxpayers' facilities. You know, it's public, so it's the people's right. It's the people's company that works for the people. So it's the first time that we've seen 220,000 quipambeles and 220,000 limonai mangoes F2s growing from seed. Wow. In 55 hectares and 15 hectare wow. plots with Dude. Everything machine. There is obviously there's a human resource, a large human resource. To harvest 15 hectares, you're going to need at least, 3 days, and you're going to need teams of about 30 to 40 people. Right. But they are using machines, right? They're harvesting with machines. Yeah. They're opening, they're prepping the land for the next harvest with machines. They're dumping clones and seedlings into the hole with machines. Because at the end of the day, it's so much land and so much work that, it has to be with a whole bunch of the integration, right? So it's yeah. been amazing because they were working with other genetics that were not stable at all. And they were having a hard time harvesting, right? Because if you have a lot of phenotypes, if you have 40 different types of phenos, one is done in week 10, another one's done in week 9, another one's done in week 8, another one's done in week 7. It's mm-hmm. going to be a big mess. And if they're all different colors, shapes, and sizes, it's going to be an even bigger mess. And you're probably just going to need to extract all that cannabis, right? Now that we're going into the exportation game, people need, the pounds or the kilos of the cannabis they're exporting to pretty much right. be very much the same, right? Now, people are doing clone-only productions, but when you're talking about, 15-hectare plots, it's very, very hard to clone, 25,000 or even, 50,000 right. clones and then, take them out to the field. So over right. there, what we've been doing is pretty much, building what will be, one of the biggest smokable flower exportation companies, in Argentina. Like always, it sucks that the Argentinians can't, enjoy it yet. They can just enjoy the CBD oils because that's the only thing that's legal. Just how Colombians only enjoyed, topic creams and little tinctures mm-hmm. that had to be sold as cosmetics because, the Colombian government didn't get it. So the same thing is happening over there, and I think it's part of the jump to the rec market, but definitely these companies are looking for other options, because at the end of the day, when you talk about those type of facilities, we're talking about millions of dollars in investments and the company has to get them back because at the end of the day, it's for the people from the people. So, that's what we're working on, right? We're working on getting them the perfect grade A flower so Germany and Israel and all these other countries will import with no problems. They wow. have a great pro is that they live, where they grow is pretty much, it's very cold and dry. So flowers, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been seeing the things that I've been posting lately, the flowers look like indoor flowers. The amount of resin and terpenes that there are is just ridiculous. Yes. I got jealous. I'm like, wow. And there I thought Santa Marta was killing it. Like, no way. Like, you know, these people. Dude, are
is that that Selva Negra that you sent me? Was that one of them?
So Selva Negra.
Let's talk about that thing for a sec, because that's going to be on the screen. You bet your butt, bro. That's already on the screen. The viewers are seeing that right now. For those watching on YouTube, bro, let's talk about this thing for a second, dude. What's going on here?
Yeah, so Selva Negra was really one of the craziest things we saw over there, because she always expressed herself very dark, you know, in the indoors here in Colombia and stuff, but she never got to the platinum points. So that, what you see there is pretty much just like the platinum, right? Like, I think strains that got in that type of prefix, you know, platinum cookies, platinum this, platinum that, have definitely, you know, got into those expressions, right, to be called platinum. So the Selva Negra was crazy because the cinnamon cookies really expressed itself amazingly, to the point where it actually like killed off all the Nicole traits, and literally you just saw the amazing cinnamon cookies from Sin City Seeds, and you saw it to the maximum expression of you know, the the purple to black to platinum fades that it has there. She's amazing. She's definitely not a producer like how we like them. You know, the more production type of plants are like the green ones and the ones that have mango lemonade characteristics, because at the end of the day, you know, we see a whole bunch of pretty plants and everything, but here it's a numbers game, right? So the breeders have to finish their job. You know, it doesn't cut it just to have the good terp with the popcorn nugs. You got to take it another generation and look, you know, for the stacker with the same terps or even better terps and same, you know, THC content or whatever. And I think that's the most important part. Cheers, brother. By the way, this
cheers, dude. Dude, that's sick. What is he with the?
Check it.
Ooh, oh my God, bro. Fuck, that's good, man. I'll never forget the dab I had there at your place, bro, before we went out on that tour. Holy smokes, bro, those diamonds that we were hitting.
Oh my God, talking about them, I have them here too.
Oh my God, dude. It was just waiting for you. Oh my God, so, I can't wait, man.
So amazing that you mentioned that, because back when you came that day, remember how everything was really like R&D and it was all, you know, we had everything up and down, all around. Now I'm super happy because you're going to get to see the farm in production, right? And you're going to get to see seed production, and you're going to get to see flower production, and you're going to get to see a state-of-the-art cold room, and you're going to get to see, you know, that can, it can dry, it could dry like, I think, a ton every 14 days. It's programmed to dry. Wow. Right? So, so take out like 80% of that in dry flour. So a quarter ton in dry flour will come out. 1 ton in wet flour will go in. And then you'll see a whole, we're building this state-of-the-art non-solventless lab. So hopefully it'll be ready for that time also. Like, so it's here in Santa Marta, it's so hot that, you know, the rosin game is a very big challenge. So we're like, screw it, let's make a freezer and let's work inside a freezer, you know, at minus 10 or, you know, whatever the hell we can take it. I want to take it down at least to 10 degrees Celsius, you know. I told the guys, I'm like, I don't care, we have to go in with penguin suits. Like, I want to work as cold as we can. And it's been a nice journey to see how that's going to turn out. And hopefully you're going to get to, if you don't see it operating, you're definitely going to see it, you know, in construction.
Heck yes. Let's talk about that for a sec. For anyone listening, actually, because I think that's a good moment to bring it up. There is a massive cannabis cup and event happening this year here in Colombia. And it's something I'm going with, you know, with everything, bro, everything I can, you know, hopefully some entries in the flower category, hopefully for the first time ever, some entries into live rosin, into solventless extraction. But I know no matter what, we're coming there. We want to document everything and we want to spend like an extra week. I think Grower Joe from the Basement Grow Show is going to be coming out to Colombia. So let's transition for a second. Talk about, dude, Copa Caribe, the details on that for anyone listening, bro. Cause believe it or not, bro, there's already people coming down to Colombia. We're getting hit up at Home Grow TV. People are making it to cups now, bro. So I want to throw it out with enough, you know, notice as possible. Anyone wanting to come down to Colombia, the dates for Copa Caribe, where it's at.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be amazing. Like you said, people are actually, you know, making a big migration, you know, to come compete. It's been the beginning of this you know, we saw it with a couple of people who came from Spain and came from this mm-hmm. and that to actually compete. But now we're seeing a whole bunch of South Americans, a whole bunch of, you know, Americans, Canadians, everybody is packing their bags and they want that cup, you know?
Yes,
so it's
bro.
Amazing. It's going to be the 21st of July. And it's going to be in Santa Marta, Colombia. So that's the region of Magdalena. It's pretty much the region where Cartagena, Barranquilla, and Santa Marta as our coast. So what I promise is it's going to be the best, you know, cup party that we could definitely do. Cutting Edge and Black Tuna, Puffco, Punto Rojo. Have been putting in mad work to get all this prepped up for everybody. The sponsors that I didn't mention are also doing a great, great, great deal of work, because the sponsorship fees, at the end of the day, we didn't make this into a fair because mm-hmm. I didn't want to have the companies or the brands spend a lot of money to come to a very, you know, desolated area of Colombia where there isn't a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. I think fairs have to be in places where there's a lot of, you know, rotation, so people could either, you know, sell, because that's what they live off. They have to sell and get their brand out there, promote, you know, pretty much mm-hmm. there's two reasons why people go to fairs, right? But I also think that there's a difference between when it costs a lot of money, you know, it shouldn't just be to promote, you know, you should be able to, you know, get your money back or something to pay for cost. And if it's right. just for promotion, then what you pay for better be, you know, very well seen in what you, in when you get, right? So pretty much we yeah. wanted to make it a cup and also this place where sponsors can, where competitors and sponsors could be in the same place and where yep. only quality will meet quality, right?
Beautiful.
I think at the end of the day, instead of having a bunch of people trying to sell stuff, I want a bunch of people trying to, you know, get to know each other and see what happens next. See, you know, fuck who knows yeah. if Cutting Edge finds their next brand ambassador there. Who knows if, you know, anybody, if you find your next brand ambassador there, if you know, or right. if something comes up, or if you get the magic seeds from the this person that ends up being, you know,
the
your
genetics,
favorite,
yeah, the exchange there, bro.
Right? Or if yeah. you learn something new because, you know, an OG grower was there and gave you a little tip and that changed your whole grow and gave you 30% increase. So mm-hmm. that's what we want to, you know, generate. We actually want to generate the community, and then have the aspect of the competition, in order to really keep the egos aside, and have a very nice place where competitors and judges could sit together. Sick. You know, judges can be visibly seen. They don't have to be, you know, they're hidden and, right. and people can actually see what's competing, what's going on. And why, you know, the this one and that didn't, right? At the end of the day,
right.
I want it to be very, very, you know, very reflective of everybody's work and the judges and whatever anything needs to, you know, to happen for the cup to have an improving aspect, right? And to show
beautiful, bro.
And to show people that South America is doing a great job and that, you know, now we can relate to everybody in the world and people could come visit us and, you know, and they'll have access to all these things that they thought, you know, were impossible or that didn't exist here in our country.
Yes.
So we took a really, really big aspect on the cup. The money for the sponsorships is the money that pays for the natural reserve. It's the money that pays for the VIP, which has free food, free drinks, free candy buffets. You get, you know, unlimited dabs at the Puffco bar. You get unlimited pre-rolls at the dab tuna yeah. table. So at the end of the day, like I tell the sponsors, I'm like, okay, you pay $250, but that's what you're gonna drink, eat, smoke, and on top of that, when you already drink and smoked all your money, you're gonna get brand, you know, recognition yeah. and you're gonna be able to
that's
chill
dope.
And have fun. So we thought about it like that. You know, we wanted people to get there and like feel that their money, you know, got well used. So that's why, for example, for the competition, we're not charging fees to enter samples. Like You can enter the
sample. That'd be the first cup I've ever been to, you know, or seen that it wouldn't be like that. And it's more in it, like it just go there and compete to show. I've been to some that were so steep that I was like, man, I feel bad for some of the other, like, all of us gardeners giving up, forking up like a bunch of flowers that we've worked so hard for. Plus we're like, this is a decent amount. We're talking in Colombia, bro. I'm like, dang, dude. All right, let's do this. But I also didn't feel like the ethics were, I don't know. I don't want to get into that part, but I love that side of it, dude. When I heard that from you guys, dude, I was like, that's sick. You know, anyone just show up, bring your fucking A game.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. The only thing that is not going to get you on the judges table is if you really don't meet the quality for Colombia to be represented by you, you know, like at the end of the day, it's not mm-hmm. even, I'm not even going to do like they do in some competitions where they call people out and they have them, you know, in front of everybody. And they're like, oh, this shit. No, I'm literally right. like, I'm going to pre-assess the whole jar thing before it even comes out. And if, you know, somebody, you know, doesn't make the cut or something, they're going to be contacted, you know, super low key, and nobody's ever going to know, you know, that they didn't reach the table. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I knew that was one of those factors because it always was for me. You know, like I looked right. and I'm like, damn, I want to go in with four in different four categories. But then I'm like, damn, that's already 2 million pesos. I can't take the 10. If I want to compete, yeah. do I want to take the 10? I can't do both.
Right. So, and sometimes you as a gardener, I like, get it. If you're especially pheno hunting, bro, for the first time, we got like a selection I can look through of like 10 phenos. You might want to like send in four of your best phenos to see just even a sense from other people. Just even get on the judges panel to get in other people's hands, not even expecting a cup, but just to get it out there. And you're like, dang, bro, I got to throw in four in this and then this category. So that's going to be really cool, bro. Do you have any idea of rough estimates of like what we could see maybe for like entry wise in a cup like this?
Yeah.
Of amounts?
I'm hoping, you know, I'll be happy if we have 15 well presented in each category. Obviously, you know, the edible category is a little smaller, but we already know pretty much who's the edible pimps over here in Colombia. And there's just a couple yeah, of them. Dude,
there's some good options.
And I told them, you know, that. And also what I want is, you know, maybe people are like, hey, you guys put it in the middle of July. I don't have money to fly over there and get a hotel and I don't have all this shit. You know, send your through the mail, you know, send your muestra, your sample, right? Yeah. I also tell people like, you don't have to be presently there for international and national judges to say, hey, this is the best in Colombia, you know, in South America and in the world. And that I think is pretty cool too, that you could literally just send, you know, your samples free of charge and get into, you know, an A game cup that's going to be judged by, you know, we've been seeing the judges and at the end of the day, we wanted to make it as fair as possible. So I'm not judging, I'm not competing, you know, I'm just 100% there to make people happy and get as high as they can and, you know,
yeah.
get hydrated and go to the pool and, you know, have the best time in the world. That's my
dude,
job.
Dude, so it's, yeah, and it's at a resort, right?
Amazing. So,
yes, dude. You know, dude, and, for those and, listening, yeah, we definitely extend the invite, guys. Like, I'm a huge promoter of Colombia. I love this place. It's absolutely amazing. And more events I go to, you meet more people that are coming here to explore the country. They're already in the scene. So, this is the 21st of July, guys, in Santa Marta is where you would fly into your final destination. You probably go through Bogota, I assume. But check it out, man. If you guys are listening to this right now, you're ripped. You're like, dude, I'm just going to fucking go to Expedia right now. Just check it out. Fucking look yeah, and just
exactly.
see.
Exactly. And what I tell people is that, you know, it's a perfect time, especially, you know, the dollar is, the change of dollars is ridiculous to Colombian pesos. Even, you know, for people in South America to come to Colombia, mm-hmm. it's very, very cheap for them. So I always tell them, you know, Santa Marta is a beautiful place. That, you know, you're not going to see it in one day. You're not going to see it in 2 days. But you could take the opportunity to come. And if you want to compete, it's a serious competition that has serious ethics. It's a serious cup. And, you know, the judges Damn and it. Everything shows it, right? It shows that you're not going to get judged by people that you're not going to get. You know, like if I was going to get my Michelin star from my restaurant, I want mm-hmm. the Michelin star people. You know, I don't want some other company that's brand new saying, yeah, you know, we rate restaurants for you. Like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
You know, who the hell, what have you done to show the world that your palate can be rateable, right? Like you can rate yes. restaurants. Like, what have you done? Have you been You know, have you eaten fine dining for 30 years of your life so you can know what's good and bad? Have you been a chef for like 30 years so you know what's good and bad? If you haven't, then don't rate, because your rating isn't going to be anything, mean anything, right? So at the end of the day, I want these ratings, you know, to get our people jobs, to get our people more sales, to get our people recognized. You know, I want when Oni Seeds comes, I want him to go to one of the winners and be like, yo, I want to, you know, work with you. Or, hey, do you have a license? Or, hey, you know, you want to go to the States? I'll pay you X amount of money if you just fucking wash for me or whatever. I want, you know, ABF to go to the winner and be like, here's the original forum cut crossed with blah, blah, blah. I see that you're the guy and I see you know, you're amazing. Here you go. You know, I want, you know, the Puffco crew to be like, yo, here's, you know, the whole fucking set. You're the best fucking extractor, you know?
Dude, that's really sick. And one question, do you think you've seen me at so many of the cups? And I think even the viewers have seen some of these videos where we do lives there. We, you know, we try and get out as much as we can. Can Homegrow TV have a booth, bro, where we like have internet hooked up? I got the cable at 150 feet, bro. And we could be doing interviews there. And let us know if you guys think that's a good idea. Throw a comment below if you guys are on YouTube right now watching this. Cause I think it's a great idea. We've tried to do it so many times and I kind of just stopped attempting, you know, and you've seen, remember, dude, last summer, bro, it was brutal. We're there at this cup. I'm like chugging two bags through the field. I'm like, I think I'm just going to stop doing this for a bit, bro. And I heard about this cup at the beginning of the year, just rumors of it. Then I seen the official dates. Now we're doing this call and I'm like, bro, I'm going all in on this sucker. You know, I want to bring everything again. I have that fire in me to share, you know, and I think that this event is really something that I feel afterwards I'm going to be proud of, like being a part of, just even showing to the world, recommending it. And that's my true hopes, bro. And that's why I'm going in with everything and just showing up from a rooftop, bro, from now until we're there, dude, in July.
Thank you, brother. And the answer is yes, of course. You know, I want you there. The spaces, we're definitely going to see them because you have a spot, you know, we can, you just got to choose it. You got to let me know what you want and where we can work all the interviews and everything. It's going to be great. Definitely. I want to count with you guys and definitely I want to see you also with the greatest, you know, because you're one of, you know, the best, growers we have here in Colombia. Even if you're not from Colombian descent, you know, we already, you know, we adopted you. So now,
bro, I was a past life guaranteed, bro. I was Paisa in my past life guaranteed. So man, now I never felt so.
Canada's not taking the cup, you know. If you win, Colombia's taking the cup. You're screwed,
bro. Hey, yeah, no doubt, bro. It's all sources from inspiration to actual earth has been drawn from this country. So for me, it gets all the credit, bro, just for the inspiration of getting back into the game, how well it's been treating me as a grower to be like, yep, you know what, as without doing anything, you got 20 plant, you know, you can run 20 plants here. So I'm like, this is an amazing country for growers in general. And I know there's been these debates going on, bro, back and forth. So me as originally as a Canadian living here now, going on a decade, bro, this August, I still don't know exactly what's going on in these debates. And I know there's like 8 supposed to happen or something, right? Yeah. Can you fill us in just a little bit, bro? And like as deep or as general as you want to say on this, going on?
I'm going to go super, super light because I'm fucking confused too. Sorry if I said a curse word. Yeah. I don't know if you can say them. But
you're good.
I'm pretty confused. But what I understand is, yes, we're changing the constitution, right? So that's why it's very heavy. Each debate that goes on gets to a higher hierarchy, let's say, right? So each time we pass a debate, it gets to a more, let's say, conservative party type of people, right? Like now that we're in Congress and now that we're debating to change the whole constitution, it really touches, you know, the moral and social fibers of the country. So it's obviously very hard. It's going to be very difficult. I'm surprised that we've gotten this far. But as good politicians and like a good, you know, country, to get these things in action, it takes years. Nobody really has a sense. We've been saying, oh, it's going to be legal in 2 years. We've been saying that 7 years ago. So that's why I can't even like, I don't even want to say, oh yeah, 6 months more and we're good, because it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. Shit, it might even not happen if the one who's president doesn't like it, you know, and throws it back, or if Congress doesn't like it and throws it back. But like you said, at the end, I think the culture is already here. I think we're already got our 20 plants. I think we're already doing the things that we need to be doing. And it's going to happen sooner or later. I think we're just waiting until the United States does it federally. I'm seeing every single day more states from the conservative sides start, you know, coming over onto the green light. for the regulations, for the rec and medical use. So that gives me hope that definitely in our lifetime, we're going to see the rec market and the medical market go. But like I've learned to do, I don't depend on it anymore. Like I said, that's why we're looking at other countries that are getting more advanced. That's why we opened up Argentina, Costa Rica. That's why we opened up Europe, because in Europe, at least we can open up a black tuna club, you know, and we can live off something today. You know, in Argentina, you can open up an OMG, like an organization, and you can have plants for patients today, you know, and you can live off that.
And what about Thailand?
Thailand, I would love to go. Like, it's really far, and I don't trust it that I would be able to be there and look after stuff, right? But definitely, if I could, I would, because, you know, Rolling Lion Circus opened up a dispensary, you know, and they export
pulpit. Yeah, just seeing.
So, you know, if Rolling Lion Circus can open up a dispensary in Thailand, why the hell can't we? You know,
like, right. So are we, like, I guess, yeah, that's the ultimate dream and question. Just seeing that, right? Like, of what's going on in time. Like, oh my God, such a quick change from, you know, their king to where they are now. And then I'm like living in Colombia here going, are we next? You know, are we next? Am I going to be going soon down to, you know, El Poblado and crossing the street to go to the Black Tuna fucking place and have, you know, my nice coffee and my beautiful doobie. And then, you know, it's, we're going there, right? We're next.
We're going there. We're definitely going there, and we're getting smart about it, right? Because now we're looking at the, and it sucks because the government always misses out, right? Because now we're looking at gray areas. Now you see it's not dispensaries, it's clubs. And now you see, oh, but it's not the whole club, it's just the VIP part. And now you see, yeah, but right now it's bring your own bud, right? But you got to pay membership. But you got to pay. So you're starting to see all these things that in 6 months are going to turn into, you know, either Barcelona clubs or they're going to turn into dispensaries. You know, it's either one or the other, depending on what the government, you know, says after these debates. But if they tell us no, then we're going to figure out a way to make organizations that have patients, you know, because that's what we're going to definitely, like you said, we're next. We're definitely next. I think as Colombians, we've been very patient in letting the government decide for us. But now I think we've gotten to the moment that we have to actually do it for them, right? Like, you see all these people for their legislations. I see how, you know, government people talk about it. You know, they're still talking about basic stuff like, oh, you know, if we're going to have it legalized, we got to figure out what designated areas we use for people to smoke pot. And then I'm there thinking in my head, brother, pick up a Google, you know, or AI or whatever, and see that that exists already. You know, in the United States, you got to smoke in your house because you're a patient. Can't smoke in the car because you can't be on anything when you're in the car. You can't smoke in private public places because you can't even be taking a drink, you know, with an open container in a park because there's kids, you know. And there's less and less places that are even allowing to smoke cigarettes now at parks, right? So it's the same thing with cannabis. So if the guy is going to freak out and make us wait 6 months because they have to figure out or build designated areas, then it's not the right way to go. And we're still going to be stuck in the hole, right? He needs to figure out that, okay, it's either we make these designated areas for everything, right? For alcohol, for tobacco, and for cannabis. Or we just copy something that already exists. Just like, hey, take it home. Consume it on your own time. See what, you know, things that are basic. So I think it's definitely a culture problem and a social problem that the people, and I've told this, I even told this to the face of, he was, I think, I don't know if he was a senator or something, but I got invited to this debate at a university, right, on why or why it shouldn't be. And I had to destroy the guy in front of his own, you know, school and university, telling him it's so funny how somebody who just got briefed on this 5 minutes before coming into this debate is talking with so much freaking empowerment. And like, he knows, like, the only thing you know about this is whatever your associate and your and the girl that works for you behind the desk gave you a brief 5 minutes before you came in here. You know nothing. You know, you know absolutely nothing. And you're the one that's supposed to take and make decisions for us on this, you know, and, yeah. and you know nothing about it. So it's definitely, we're in the hands of people that don't care and they don't know, right? Because at the end of the day, they have other agendas. They have other politics. They want to win the next year election. They're not thinking about cannabis. And until cannabis means 50% of the votes, they're not going to look at us.
Right.
You know, so unless yeah. they have a paper that says, hey, you know what, 50% of your voters smoke weed, you know, and like cannabis, the guy's not going to legalize it. But guess what? The second right. somebody comes and tells them that 50% of their votes is from cannabis consuming people, that guy will make everything in his power for that plant to be alive, because that will mean him getting elected.
Right.
You know? So yeah. those yeah, are the clear. Real deal things people don't like to talk about. I'm over it. Like, I just tell it how it is now. Because like I said, it's crazy, you know, like it's every day is a different debate. And the other day right. was even crazier, you know, it was hilarious because this other guy from the council, from the Congress is like, you know what? Yeah, we got to legalize it, but we also got to let everybody be able to sell and do everything. And I'm like, brother, so now you're telling me that everybody who died, like making this possible and got, you know, lost everything, their houses, their cars, because they invested and looked for investors that could get them to play in a pharmaceutical game, right? Because mm-hmm. something is, if I make my homegrown tomato, right, and I sell it at the farmer's market, right, that's not FDA approved. My kitchen ain't FDA, you know, my garden mm-hmm. isn't FDA. I'm not getting lab tested, right? But that's yeah. farmer's market. People who go there usually know these things, you know? They know yeah. it's organic and whatever. But right. when you go into pharmaceutical, nobody's cooking up aspirin in their backyard, you know? Nobody's cooking up, you know? So it's two different playing fields. You can't, you know, how you think Germany's going to buy cannabis from somebody who can't, you know, pass a microbiology test? They're not, yeah. you know? So why are you going right. to lie to our poor, you know, communities and tell them, yeah, go, instead of using the money you buy to use corn, and instead of selling the corn you usually use to feed your family, go grow cannabis yeah. because right. somebody's going to buy that cannabis. It's a lie. Yeah. Nobody's going to buy that cannabis because that cannabis yeah. is going to be grown in a mountain right. with water, uh-huh. you know, falling from the sky, getting it bud rot. They're not going to get the best genetics because they don't have, you know, the help from the government to get the genetics at a good price. Then there's no right. help at all, you know, to clean the land, to do the labs, to do the proper drying. So at the end, they're just going to get into these crazy loopholes where they're going to lose money. And then they're going to blame the government again, right? When the right. government was supposedly the ones that are going to give them opportunities to play in the cannabis market. You know, like right. there's something, there's two different things, you know. I think there's, and the government doesn't even know, you know, they're still going back and forth. So, like I said, it's going to be our job to do it, right? And if we're home growers, if we have 20 plants, then just like in Barcelona, home growers with 20 or 200 plants, they sell it to dispensaries. And it's the dispensary's job to see if that product has mold, passes a test, you know, does mm-hmm. all that thing. So we're going to have to do the same thing, you know, if they don't regulate it.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, bro. I know you're the one to ask. And I know there's actually, every time we go into it a little bit on the channel and we talk about any of these things happening, there is more and more interest. There is actually a lot of people watching and seeing what's happening in Colombia. And there's just so many things changing day by day, bro. We get messages from Germany as things change over there, the growth in Thailand since, you know, the ever changing. So it's unbelievable, bro. But one of the things we also get asked nonstop ever since our first interview, bro, is about black tuna. When you know, like what's coming, what's going on? Let's transition and talk about it a little bit, bro. Cause I know it's a never ending, beautiful journey of different recipes and different things that you're cooking up and doing over there. What's on the horizon right now? What's on the works for Black Tuna, bro?
So I'm gonna tell you, it's been a nice ride, and it, like you said, it's amazing because it's never changing. When we did the first line of Black Tuna, we never thought that it was gonna be, you know, for the growers community. We always did that thinking of large scale production for LPs, you know, for licensed producers, right? Mm-hmm. People who had experience first with plants and two that had large scale productions to be able to see the benefits of the actual black tuna strains.
Right.
So in the beginning, when I saw the feedback on something that wasn't even made for the smoking and rec community. It was amazing. It was beautiful. You know, we got so much, you know, like what this journey's been, you know, like all the strains, and pretty much all the strains are very much dominant in the Nicole, aspect of the crosses, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Marimbero, shout out to Gato, shout out to Jose, shout out to Matitas 420, which pretty much, and shout out to all of Antioquia, you know, for and also Valle del Cauca for keeping her alive.
Yeah.
All these years, you know, she's a real keeper for large scale production, right? I think the U.S. they find a keeper, and they fill their indoors and they fill their markets, and everybody has the cut and everybody has a clone, so everything's, you know, gets done right to the proper way. Here in Colombia, you know, the black market depends on 3 to 4 grows. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're massive grows. And if those grows don't have good genetics, well, the people won't smoke good. You know, and if those grows aren't, you know, doing shit correctly, like drying correctly or packaging without, you know, making it brick weed, well, Colombia's going to smoke, you know, whatever the hell they're putting out.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the Colombian market is very much controlled by a small group of people. And if they don't have the good genetics and the good proper things, then, you know, Colombia is pretty much a large percentage of the people that don't grow, that don't have access to, you know, to friends that grow like us and have like very unique products. They won't, you know, they will never know what that is. So Nicole helped us to up our game. You know, it helped to up the quality. It helped for Colombia to make the best bubble hash since Colombia has a big history of bubble hash, because, you know, now we're making rosin and stuff, but Colombia, if you see in Jorge Cervantes, the Cannabis Bible, the pictures of the hash making, that's all in Colombia. The table, the wooden table with 100 and something strains, that's in Colombia. And that's, I'm talking about, I think that was 2007, 2006,
right?
You know, that's a lot of years ago. You know, that's pretty much 15 years. But back in the day, we couldn't be public about it. Like back in the day, even Jorge Cervantes, if you look at those pages, they even change our people's name. Like they don't say, you know, they don't say Gato from Marimberos, or, you know, they don't say
wow,
Matitas 420. They don't say, they change the name. But all the content and everything that he learned when he came here is Colombian. It's from Colombian people who fucking invented that shit back in the day.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? And they learned from Mila, you know, Mila Hash Queen. They acquired how she used to make bubble hash, and they brought the first bubble bags from the pollinator company, and they brought the first pollinator machines over here to Cauca.
Yeah.
And they did large scale production. Like no joke. Not like the little, no, like large scale. Like they got the bags.
Yeah.
And you know how we like lift the bags up by hand and we have to drain the water? Well, back in the day, they used to make the bubble bags. The whole thing didn't drain. The only part that drained was the bottom.
Okay. Right?
So back in the day, when you used to drain bags, it took way longer than when you drain them today. Because now the bottom part has an extra little fucking side thing on the top where the water actually drains from on the upper part. Right,
yeah.
And there's even some that are completely, all of it is mesh. Right?
Yeah.
So you just fucking come up and it comes up. But you know, you want the ones that like make it funnel, but not funnel enough to get clogged by the actual
by the
Piatella
material itself. But,
so back in the day, what they did was they told Mila, they're like, "Hey, we're gonna fucking put holes all around the fucking bubble bags, and we're gonna have rings, 4 rings." So they got, you know what, where they hang like the meat when they're like moving it around, like the big chunks of meat, like those fucking meat grabber things, right? And they would hook the fucking things on those things, suspending them, so they could keep working while the bags would fucking
just hundreds of bags,
just fucking hold it like being fucking drained of the water, you know, waiting to get collected with the spoons.
Yeah.
And in those ages, there wasn't any freeze dryers.
Right. You know? Yeah, so it was just
dried old school, you know, on top of pizza boxes. The pizza boxes were obviously new.
Yeah.
You know, and that would always become, they used to mix all the meshes, you know, all the way from 120U to 25U. They mix it all. And and what they added to the recipe, which not a lot of people were doing, is that they took all that granulated mixed hash and they threw it in meat grinders.
Whoa.
So right. the meat grinder is, and you could all see this in Jorge Cervantes' book. They have the pictures of the meat grinder. You could even see that meat grinder in Greenhouse Seed. They always show the picture. It's a hash ball, super big. It's Franco with Gato.
Yeah.
And it's the meat grinder picture showing like the hash coming out of the meat grinder. And that meat grinder, what it does is that it makes that grainy, sandy hash, it makes it into a full melt bubble.
Right.
Right. With a consistency of chocolate.
Right. So just mashing it together almost like
turned into chocolate. Right. And it was known, they call it to this day chocolate. And we were the ones in charge of producing Brazil's and Argentina's hash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was Colombia. Colombia was in charge of producing Brazil and Argentina's hash for the last 15 years.
Wow.
So now nothing has changed. All we're doing is getting better technologies. We're getting, you know, harvest rights. Now we're free. Dude. Now we're doing live plants instead of dry plants.
Yeah.
Because back in the day also, like, they didn't understand that concept. They, you know,
they've adapted. Like, hey, yeah, they've took the information on so well. Like everyone I meet at the Cups, or at least our community, right? The same one that we always hang out with at the Cups and stuff. You see how many of them is like the core of it. It like almost stems from like their passion of concentrates, you know, the presses, how they've taken that technology, some of them creating their own and different versions. Like it's just so cool to see, bro, how as a culture here, they've really, and it makes sense now that you're saying that with everything bubble hash. Okay, well then the next step. Wow, have they taken onto that? And like going and diving into their education when someone comes here from outside, right? And they hold the course, dude, everyone's going, you know, and investing to make sure that they can learn, bring that to the country and ultimately bring it to the market, bro. Like in 2 days from now, we're filming for the episode we did just, we've never done it before. We harvested 12, we fresh froze them. And Heisen's is coming up and he's bringing the harvest right here to the house, bro. Like, it's crazy though. That's here in Colombia. And I think people watching it sometimes watch a channel and don't even realize that we're down here in Colombia, bro. And it's changing so fast. The level is just higher and higher. And it just makes me want to learn more as a home grower. How is it like as a home grower putting a lot of that into extracts, you know, into rosin and that kind of stuff, bro?
100%. Rosin is the final expression of that uniqueness of the strain, right? Of that plant. The other day I was talking to my associates because it was hilarious how once the Kipambele rosin aged, it smelled exactly like when you would walk into to 10,000 to a greenhouse with 10,000 Kipambele in week 8. Right,
yeah.
Just the same smell, the same exact smell. So I told them it would be cool to make like those old school Halls commercials where the guy would be like in the office, like super boring, everything gray.
He would
pop open a Halls, eat it. Like he would close his eyes, open them, be in Mount Everest, like fucking hiking with a bunch of cold, like just cold everywhere, like shh. And then the motherfucker opens up his eyes again and he's in the office, like bored as fuck. And then it says Halls, like taste the freshness of the mountains, whatever the fuck. You know, so at the end of the day, that's what rosin is. Like I told him it would be amazing. And there's a commercial where a motherfucker comes, opens up that rosin, smells it, closes his eyes, gets transported to a fucking field with 10,000 plants.
Birds chirping and shit too.
You know, people like fucking cutting plants, like harvesting. And then he fucking wakes up again in his office. He's like, oh shit, fuck, amazing. And then it says, taste, you know, whatever the fuck, or you make up a clever ass shit. But at the end of the day, people don't understand how it is that, like, you're getting the essence of what the grower, breeder, and extractor have done throughout the whole process, right? And that's mind-boggling, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, bro. Dude, there was big news for Colombia at, what was it, Dabadoo, or what was the event in Spanibus? There were some major cups won by Colombia, bro. Can we like talk about that for a second, dude?
So Black Tuna and Colombian Exotics took first at Dabadoo, right, for the best hash.
Yeah.
And we took, well, not we, but with Black Tuna Strains, they took first place in the solvents category.
Yeah, the solvents, right.
With the best BHO.
Wow. So
that, there's also, like, for example, the Mango Lemonade strain and the Black Jaguar, which is everything that that tasted like, which is pretty much Colombia in one fucking, like, you open that and that's Colombia for you.
Ooh.
That's where Amnesia gets his fucking terps from, you know? That's all that right. Old school Jack terp, people hate it, but that's our roots, you know? Like, yeah. The hazes and everything, it's because people never have gotten a proper haze. They've never gotten a proper, you know, a proper myrcene with limonene blend, and they just think it's a swag or it's bad.
Right.
But they've never had those psychedelic effects, because nobody's going to take a strain to 12 weeks. Nobody's going to take a strain to, you know, to 13 weeks. And that's what some of those strains require, you know, to finish up. So definitely, like, when you do that proper, it showed to kick everybody's ass in the terp profile and in the effect. So shout out, to Terpene, for that win. And yeah, shout out to Milo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Terpene Dad on Instagram, where he changed it recently, right? I forget what it is now, but I'll make sure we have that up there.
Everybody's getting their shit closed, bro. So I just call them by their name now. Sorry if they didn't want to be known, but everybody wants to be known. We're not going to jail anymore, fellas. We could be known. All right, so shout out to Milo, because that was a very good job, and he took it. He whipped their ass.
Huge, bro.
And that's what it is, you know, like, that's what we
got
to keep
doing. I got multiple texts that day. It was like, bro, huge day for Colombia. I was like, what's up? Like, bro, two massive wins over there, and it was just like, oh, and what? And in the extractions, I was like, of course, bro, like, hardcore crushing it over there, right? And, like, that's a big, how do you say, like, that's a big, caliber, right? Like, that's a pretty high entry level over bro, there, right? I would assume.
It's super high, bro. It's like, and this year, what was funny is that this year, United States was there very hard.
Wow.
You know, like, we had people, like, Feeling Frosty, you know, that guy selling $100 grams, you know, of live resin. The guy has, you know, he has all the tools to be winning those cups 100%, and there he won the cup for his category, but you know, people were at his level, right? Like, and he was telling people, like, yo, your shit's fucking at the level that it's supposed to be.
That's
so
sick.
And especially for us to see that, it was amazing. The ego clash, me and Mauro, we placed fourth, but then they just took away the third places. They got disqualified like a week ago. Third place got disqualified. So Mauro and me got bumped up to third.
No, dude, congrats, brother. So heck yeah.
Colombia has an ego clash now.
Wow, bro. And do you think, like, some of those in those, I always assume, like, at the highest caliber, and I could be completely wrong, but, like, I always assume a lot of it's indoor, but a lot of the stuff from Colombia is outdoor. Is that true?
Now, I'm going to tell you why we whipped ass. I'm going to tell you the reason why.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, in the United States and in a whole bunch of places where they have the indoors, it's usually clone only, because in Europe, they don't waste time popping beans and stuff. They just bring everything from the States, or they buy the clones that have been bred there correctly, because it's a money game and it's a numbers game. And they just want, you know, if runs is Obama runs, okay, it's Obama runs. If it's Skittles, all right, let's fucking do Skittles. And the same thing in the United States. For these people to compete, it's not like us that we have to work our ass off for 6 months, you know, and fucking do everything from zero and have like fucking 100 grams and cry that we have to enter 50 because we're not going to be able to pay the rent, you know, because we have to sell that shit. To people who already live in, like, a rec market type of, you know, ambience, where they literally just go to their dispensary or to their fucking company, open up the fridge of fucking jars and jars and jars and jars and jars and jars of produced live resin, live rosin, right? And all they have to do is see which one's the best. That's it. Like, they're going to see, oh, which one am I going to go compete with? But the work's already been done. The strain has already been tested. You know, everything has already been implemented. People already buy those strains in dispensaries and have shown to like them, right? So So their job is 100% easier. What I did is I'm like, okay, how the hell can we match that? Like, what can we do in our playing field that can mm-hmm. do better, or maybe not better, but different, right? Because yeah. let's take back the example of wine. Nothing's better than anything. Shit's right. just different, right? That's Good pretty call. Much what it is. So how can we be different, right? So we thought, okay, everybody's running clone only. So how about if we take a field of 5,000 plants, right, with a mix of KO and Sherbert, which is a Sherb Shocker cross for Keep Pambele. Mm-hmm. And how about I don't just choose the Keep Pambele Fino, which punches hard, but yep. is lacking a little bit of the Sherb taste that everybody loves.
Yeah.
How about if I choose 50 plants with the best characteristics of the whole freaking, you know,
wow.
The whole strain, like the yeah. actual strain, whole spectrum, full spectrum,
yeah.
not just one. So that opens up a whole different playing field because I selected strains that, you know, gave the terpenes that I wanted. Yeah. I selected strains that gave the punch that I wanted. And I selected strains that gave the return and the sauciness of the texture that I wanted.
Oh, right? Dude, that's so sick.
At the end of the day, I previously blended before actually getting different rosins and blending them. I did the blend in the wash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we took all those different phenols to the wash, we washed that. We made the hash and we made the rosin, all this process with me and Mauro from Colombian Exotics.
Yeah.
We did this and we came up with a complete full spectrum extract of what is Keep Pambele, right? So what I noticed are two things. What I noticed is that everybody who was judging our thing said that it never stopped appearing on different spots of the palate. Mm. Like the second you smoked it, you would have one taste. Then you would have another taste in your throat. Uh-huh. You would have another taste on the upper side of your mouth.
Yeah.
And then when you would talk, you would have a leftover taste different on the other side of your throat.
Oh, right? My so God,
they
bro.
Couldn't understand what it was because they're like, well, fuck, it's Sherb, but it's also candle, but it's also vanilla. But yeah. it's also this. And then another thing that I saw that really took the cake is that everybody was smoking, smoking, smoking. And when they hit our fucking strain, the people, even the most experienced ones, they had to go get a water break.
Yeah.
They had to chill. They had to fucking like wait a couple minutes before continuing.
That's sick, bro. You know, and
so those two were the main, those two qualities were the main things that, you know, got a strain that I was like, they're going to shit on us with papaya. They're going to shit on us with Skittles. Mm-hmm. They're going to shit on us with RS-11. I mm-hmm. told my friends, I'm like, I don't know why the hell we're even going. Like, they're going to completely murder us. Like, you know, we're going into a place where they have everything, the whole menu, A from Z. You know, they right. have all these, you know. So at the end of the day, it was like, when Jeez. They called our name, I was already like with my backpack going towards the door. And mm-hmm. Mauro was like, we won! And I'm like, oh my.
Wow,
I was already
dude.
So high, bro. It was so good. The competition was so good. I just wanted to go home, bro. I couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, oh
definitely
my
a
God,
milestone.
Now I have to talk.
Would you say Shit. That's like a milestone moment, if not definitely one for the books? Hey, like as far as the adventure you guys have been on since we've met, bro, to see that, I'm like, holy dude, that was, again, multiple messages of people over in Spanibus over there. It was from all over the place, bro. It was just, for me, I was even proud, dude. And I'm, like you said, I'm not actually even Colombian, and I'm just, I felt it's just associated and felt proud of like just Colombia and the speech I've been putting behind it over for the last little bit. But dude, we've been on for like an hour and five, and I know you've been traveling. You're tired as heck, and I want to respect your time and thank you for even taking this long. But dude, before we go, tell us, like, you know, where else is the best place? I think before we go, let's take one of these together, bro. I don't think you even had the chance to rip yours, did you?
No, I've been talking, and we didn't really even talk about the Black Tuna news. But
well, let's hit it, bro. I don't have to go anywhere. If you're down to chill, I want to keep
quickly.
Please yeah. hit it, bro. Hit it.
We were talking about the Nicole Kush crosses for
yes.
For, see how high we are. We're so high. We always
let's keep going, diverge. Bro. Please, yeah.
But So yeah, the first crosses, since we made it for LPs and in LPs, we were like, all right, fuck it. Now this year, like you said, I went to Spain. We've been around. We see what people like. We see what the competition is like. We see, you know, the RS11, the soap, all blah, 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 the Georgia pies, the cookies, all this fucking, you know, hype, the great gases. So then I'm like, okay, I've tasted everything already. You know, we went to the cups, we tasted the RS11s, you know, our homie ABF, Brian, he's been the biggest, you know, now ABF LATAM is coming really hard because ABF LATAM is me, Brian. You know, Heck, it's pretty much Black Tuna and Always Be Flowering together. That's ABF LATAM. So
beautiful.
So now we're gonna come down with the heat, like real, real stupid, crazy heat, you know, that's been in you know, in his libraries for years. Strains have been the backbone of a lot of industries in the United States and the world.
Heck yeah.
And we're
gonna
start working them, and we're gonna bring them back, and we're gonna put them with a new school. It's gonna be crazy. So then seeing all these things, I noticed that in the Black Tuna stable, you know, we've had all these terps, you know, we've just had them with different names. You know, I've had an RS11 terp exactly like the one that Brian brought me in the live resin, exactly from the cut, that Wizard Trees and all those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Broke.
And I smell it and I'm like, okay, smell this Scorpion Venom. You know, the Scorpion Venom has Sherbert and it has like the GB6 tricks and Sherbert, but it also has the Face Off OG. Right. So, but the Sherbert is very dominant, but it also has the gas. Right. So the RS11 is just, you know, a different type of Sherb. So when I smell the RS11, I smell my Scorpion Venom. I'm like, holy fuck, it's the same shit.
Right.
I can call my Scorpion Venom RS11 and not even the fucking owner would know. You know? So I started noticing these things, especially with a whole bunch of strains. Like I have a Trop Punch that's going to be the donor of the new line. That Trop Punch, we hunted it from Oni Seedstock when he used to work with Bloom. Before Bloom become Bloom Seed Co., Harry Palms used to work, you know, the genetic builds up and all the genetic things for Oni Seeds.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the Tropicana Cookies Cross is so beautiful because it was actually worked with Harry Palms. Uh-huh. And everything that comes after that with that strain is proper. You know, the Tropicana Punch with the Purple Punch. Purple Punch is one of the most hated strains in the world. But Black Tuna hunted the only Purple Punch that has great flavor.
Yeah.
You know, and that's super fucking hard to get. We were talking with it with Brian, you know, because the Trop Punch that I have is actually grape, complete grape candy, like complete grape candy. And I didn't even think about it until people brought grape gas or brought grape this and grape whatever. And I'm like, it's amazing, you know, but fuck, my Trop Punch is more grape than that.
Oh,
you know, so if that's what people like, then fuck it, I'll throw it. You know, like I haven't thrown it because I didn't know that. I thought you guys wanted grape gas, but if, once they bring me grape and all the things grape, I see, oh, I have this. I've had this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know you guys liked it. So the new sick, line bro. Is that, you know, it's coming back with a whole bunch of stuff that have been there dormant. And now we're going to revive and bring other stuff that haven't been there, obviously, and do a whole bunch of flavors like an ice cream shop, right? Because before it was very production and resin and get you high, but now it's literally going to be like, okay, you like chocolate, here's chocolate, you like vanilla, here's vanilla, you like candy grape, or you like a green apple, or what do you want, you know, because that's what you're going to get. And I think that's what I'm most happy about with this new line. The other day I put on a video on Instagram of how, you know, the pollen was pollinating all the receptors. It was a beautiful reversal. The Tropicana Punch reversed beautifully. We got a lot of pollen, like tons of pollen. The bees came in this year also and helped us. So every time the bees come, it's, you know, triple, quadruple the amount of return on seeds that we get. If a plant gave us, you know, 2,000 seeds, when bees come, they give you 4,000. You know, they double the amounts. Yeah, they're real, real heavy pollinizers. Like, they get shit done.
Dude, I can't wait.
I even have videos of bees trying to pollinate cannabis with other pollen. It's hilarious. It's like the bee comes, I'll send that picture to you. The bee comes and we're looking at it. And then I see it just dump a whole bunch of pollen. And I'm like, where the hell did this bee get this pollen?
No,
we're not fucking
doubt.
Pollinizing anything in the farm.
He's trying to make the next freak show. This freaking idiot.
And I thought it was like some yellow pollen from a yellow plant, from a yellow flower that's like from the zone.
Yeah.
Right? And we were just laughing like, holy shit, these fuckers will pollinate anything, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. And
obviously the plant didn't get pollinated because it was a different species of plant, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's like they do their work, you know?
Dude, and so you guys haven't announced the flavors yet or the specific crosses on the new line yet?
So the specific crosses and flavors, I put a post, but Instagram took it down. So I don't know if they're not liking that I'm using, I don't know, maybe I'm using some names that I'm not supposed to be using, like Acai or like, I don't know what the hell fucking Instagram right now. But right now, yeah, I'll run down them. We're going to have Atomic Tangerine times Tropicana Punch. So that's going to give... Dude. Has, right? It's gonna be crazy like that. That's gonna be a real crazy cross. We're gonna have the Diamond Runts times the Tropicana Punch. That's gonna be crazy washer with turps.
Beautiful.
We're gonna have it's a Larry OG times Girl Scout Cookies times Tropicana Punch cross. We're gonna have Acai, which actually one of my favorites first, Grapple. Is the green apple from the Apple Shocker times the Tropicana Punch, right? So that one's Grapple. And beautiful. Ocean Spray. Remember the Ocean Spray, the ones we used to drink? The Cranberry. Remember Cranberry Ocean Spray and all that?
Yeah.
Well, Ocean Spray is the cross of the Sherb Shocker times the Tropicana Punch. Right, so that's going to be also like fucking sherby.
So this is a lot more fruity and like we're getting a lot deeper into a lot more of the depths of fruits and different stuff. Where, bro, you know that's where I love to hang out and I get down over there so much. And that Atomic, the Tangerine Atomic that you used in that cross, bro, that was first place, right, at the 420?
Yeah, that was the first place.
Oh, dude, that thing is unreal,
that's,
man.
That's another thing that I like is, you know, I was talking to Brian also about this and, you know, there's no use having great genetics if the people don't try them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want the people to tell me I have the good genetics. I don't want, you know, the cup. The cup is a celebration.
Right.
You know, to me, the cup is going to see you, going to see our friends.
Right.
You know, having a good time, smoking together.
Yeah.
You know, and we use the cup as an excuse for that. Yeah. And somebody goes home with a cup and somebody, does that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But,
like,
exactly.
I tell people, like, unless, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean I get more sales, or that doesn't necessarily mean I go fill up my fucking cup drawer with more cups.
Yeah,
nah, man. Like, at the end of the day, what more you got is, you know, is the people, the energy, the things that came out of that, you know, actual people telling you, yo, that's the shit, that's the best. For me, that's the cup, you know. For me,
right.
People telling me that I win. I'm already a winner.
Exactly,
you know?
Bro. For me, it's my chance to get my flowers in front of your nose, to sit down and have a one-on-one, bro, or like share a doobie over quite a few really knowledgeable growers where we can pick apart our stuff and be honest with ourselves in a lot of different ways, bro. And that's where it's really cool. And to put yourself to see what else is on the scope, bro. And it's just like, yes, I got to go in this direction with these flavors. And dude, that is unreal what you just listed off there, dude, of what's coming. And so the names, I'm sure, and some amazing designs we're going to be seeing coming out on Instagram here over the next bit.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. We already tested all the lots. So the names come from pretty much, it's the most dominant crosses that came up on all the lots. So for example, Toronjas, is like, how would you say that in English? Toronjas is like the style. Yeah, grapefruit. The grapefruit pheno, it's more acidic. So the Atomic Tangerine gives it the citric, and then the trop, it definitely throws in a nice like candy acidicness, right? So it really comes out like a pomegranate, right? So out of 10 seeds, 5 are pomegranate, and the other 5 are Atomic Lenient or Trop Lenient, right?
And are these fems or are these going regs?
These are fems, yeah. These are all fems.
This is sick. It's a room to test for that one, bro.
Dude, and grapple and everything is gonna be crazy. The Acai, everything is very lenient to what grape will give you in the mix, right?
Okay.
And at the end, I think grape is something that, you know, needs still to be worked on a little bit, right? We have a lot of grape, but I haven't seen real grapes, like at least mine, or those old school GDPs, right? And that's where I think literally like my grape comes from. My grape comes from the Granddaddy Purp and the Purple mm-hmm. Punch Cross for sure.
Right. You know,
because I remember the Granddaddy Purples, and the Granddaddy Purples, they were gas, but they were candy. You know, the GDPs back in the day, 2006, 7, and 8, we never called it candy because, you know, back in the day, we referred to good cannabis as gas.
Right.
Right. But that was definitely like one of the first candy gas strains, you know, in South Florida was definitely the Granddaddy Purples or GDPs.
Right.
And that's where that fucking Purple Punch comes from. It comes from that GDP lineage. So definitely that had to be done. It had to be worked. I had to get that little spine off my back and be like, okay, fuck it. Let's do this grapey as hell. And even I hope for the event, I have some right now, but I don't know if I'm going to smoke it all or if it's going to fucking live. But I wanted to have the terp profile of the donor of the actual Tropicana Punch pheno. So we extracted it a couple of weeks ago. And what the fuck is this shit?
So, yeah, there we go.
And beautiful. This pretty much, it's been, I like to like, because, you know, us potheads, we smell everything like mango or like whatever.
Yeah.
So I grab people that don't smoke weed, like my maid or somebody, and I just put this in her nose and I'm like, okay, what do you smell? And she goes, oh my God, yeah, that's different than anything that you've had here. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That smells like candy. That smells like you know those crayons, those scented crayons? It smells like a scented grape crayon, like a fake chemical grape, she told me. Like that's not even like real grapes. Yeah. That's like what those guys in the companies do to fucking you know, the grape postolon and shit. And I'm like, so when I get those feedbacks, I'm like, all right, guys, we're on to something.
No doubt, dude.
We can, you know, if we get this and we get it out there and everybody's, you know, seeing and smelling what she just said that knows nothing about cannabis, this is going to be wild.
I can't wait to get out there, bro, and try this. I can't get out there soon enough, and I'm going to make sure we stay out a good 2 weeks. I think we're planning at least a full week, bro. We're going to make... Oh, yes, dude, the so famous diamonds, bro. That was such a breakfast, man. That's what broke my fast that day. And we were going out on that hunt. So the best place for everyone to keep in touch and to see this, but hold on, that's going to be the Instagram, which we have it all up, and that's obvious. It's in the description. We've been showing it here the whole time. But the question for those in the U.S., bro, is there a way? Is there anyone in the States that's going to have these anywhere? Is there anyone that they can bug to get these?
This year, we're going to go hard with Always Be Flowering, which is our homie, and three of the crosses in the drop four are. Yep. Collabs with him, so he's gonna have those collabs up on his website in the US.
Beautiful.
That's a done deal, you know.
There it is.
So you guys are gonna get like pretty much the best crosses, which is gonna be like the toronjas, the pomegranates, you know, the champagne, because the Delta Diamonds times Trop is called champaña, so champagne in Spanish. It's just beautiful, you know. So you guys are gonna get a whole bunch of stuff this time.
That is sick, dude. There it is. Yeah, because that's the question all the time. So there's actually someone in the States, ABF, Always Be Flowering, that you guys can check out. And obviously, bug the heck out of CV420 on Instagram following, because you're always posting some cool stuff, bro. Your adventures, what's going down. And then the Black Tuna Co. on Instagram as well, brother.
Yeah, man. And like I said, this year is going to be great for home grow and for Black Tuna, because you're going to come and be able to show a lot of people, you know, our production line and how we get to what we get to, so people can enjoy it, right?
At the end of the day,
you know, there's a lot of love and there's a lot of work behind everything. And now we see it in production sites, right? Like these Black Tuna strains that are being grown, you know, they're being exported to Germany and people are actually smoking these things. They're having access to these things and it's cool.
Hell yes.
I'm going to launch something. I'll give you a little sneak peek of what we're going to launch. It's going to be cool. I'm going to do Charlie and the Seed Factory. and hey, Charlie Fuck and the Seed Factory, just so you get a nice little heads up. Maybe we can even, you can help me do it.
I think I would love to, bro. That's
in the sick. in the new launch in the packages.
Yep.
I'm going to stick in some golden tickets.
Shut up, dude.
And in those golden tickets, I haven't really, you know, figured it out yet, but I want the winners to come, all expenses paid, to the fucking grow.
Yeah.
See where they're made, you know.
It has to be, bro. That is.
Go to the land, go to everything, the drying room, the seed room,
wow.
The sorter, the selector, the strains, go smell everything, the jars.
Yeah,
the extracts, you know, and then come home with a gift pack with all the genetics.
That is amazing, dude. That is so sick. You have to do that, bro. So that's a thing, huh? That's going down, and that's gonna be with Black Tuna on the new crosses launches, dude. Yes. That is such a slick idea, bro. So just get ready to get absolutely blown up now on the questions and launch dates and stuff behind that. And for you guys watching, definitely just stay tuned to Instagram's the best place to be able to see what's going on there, bro. That is sick, man. And so, yeah, definitely we'll be getting a behind the scenes view and a chance to be able to check it out. Is timing going to be cool in July for?
Yes,
for
timing's going to be cool. All I have to do is So I told the Puffco team wants to do a document on the hash scene for Colombia,
right.
And that's the 22nd. That's literally the 22nd or 23rd. So with you, anything I wanted to see if you either get, but 2 days before the event would be too heavy because I'm running with a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah,
so I was thinking,
good to know. Yeah.
The 24th, which is what day? I think the 24th is, I'll tell you right now. The 24th of July is a Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that Monday we could go to the farm together, just us with your team and only your camera and only focused on you.
Heck
because
yeah, bro.
What one of my friends said is like, why don't we just, you know, you choose one day and we take everyone, but I'm like, nah, everyone's take is different. You know, these guys want to do hash. You know, Homegrow TV covers like the whole fucking Black Tuna thing. He does it with style, and
yeah.
Me and him have more flow. Like when it's us too, you know, we don't want nobody to screw around with us. So
heck yeah.
I planned it like that, and I was thinking you would love it because it's a day that I could dedicate to you, your team, and we could really dig deep into everything, right?
Dude, that would be sick. And then we'll have the year before, a year and a bit after, and it's going to be a great follow-up show of everything, bro. So
yes.
Definitely, guys, stay tuned for that. Check everything out. Bro, I know it's late over there. And so, dude, and that these dabs hit me nice and beautiful over there. So we're going to end it off here, dude. I think we got to do this again and pick it up again. Maybe at the launch day, we'll do a live and chill out. Actually, you know where it'll be, bro. It'll be at the cup. That will be the next content piece
where
we're actually live together and rocking it out. We'll be judging, checking out some buds, but
yes,
for everyone tuning in, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Throw a like down, throw a comment down. Thank you for supporting the show, guys. And we'll see you guys next week on Homegrow TV.
Thank you for everything, my brothers.